from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albracht alongside Tommy Kester. Jad Chambers is manning that IHOP hotline, 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP. That's one way to get in touch with the program. We have a lot of ways you can get in touch with the program. You can do that by watching us on the 12 News Connected app. You can leave us your comments on Facebook, YouTube, or X. You can leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app. Lots of ways that we can talk to you. We're happy to do it on a Friday. Fridays are always fun. I've been bouncing around the last couple of Fridays. I'm happy to be grounded and ready to make a redemption and in some picks later in the show, as we'll bring in Paul Savage and Brandon Zenner and TJ Cleland to do those picks. We'll talk a little high school football with TJ later on in the show as well. We'll also have our regularly scheduled Thursday betting insider, PJ Glasser, coming up this hour. He had a schedule change, so we'll get some of his favorite plays this weekend. We'll get you ready. Everything's primed and geared up for a football weekend, Tommy, and the Royals shrink the number to 1, and things are looking pretty good to get Kansas City into the postseason. And maybe if they can handle business or get a little help right out of the gates here, set a rotation is back on the table a little bit for the Royals.
Yeah, I think that really everything, at least on paper, is setting up the way that the Royals would like it to kind of play out in spite of everything else that's happened recently. It's interesting how quickly things can shift and change for a team like the Royals. And you go into Washington, you sweep that series against the Nationals. They absolutely needed to do that. And I went into it thinking, you know what, even if they can take 2 of 3, at least get themselves in a better position for the weekend. But sweeping that series, massive for Kansas City, the way that they were able to close that game out in the 9th inning and, you know, be able to ultimately push across the number of runs they needed and then, shut the door and walk away with the sweep. Again, set you up really nicely for this weekend with the magic number being 1. And really, now you've got several different chances to clinch and get into the playoffs. And really, they could, get the help from the Twins, also. They don't even necessarily have to do anything themselves. All they have to do is wait for a Twins loss. So there's a lot of different ways that, the Royals can get into the postseason. And it was really essential with that sweep.
Yeah, and that's what, look, the Royals were, they face a situation now where they must be swept and Minnesota sweep,
yes,
to not reach the postseason. So honestly, I don't even care about the positioning with the Tigers. It means nothing to me. I care more about being able to go into a series with Reagans and Lugo starting the first two games of that series. Some of the weirdness that had been going against the Royals over the week prior started to go right for them in the National Series. Joey Gallo missing a home run in the 9th inning, I believe that was the first game, by a couple of feet, right? Like, just those little tiny things that had been piling up. Last night's 9th inning was a good example. That was wacky. Pinch hitters, base stealing, all these things to lead to it. Ursig was great. The bullpen continues to be great lately. Bullpen's been fantastic lately. So I think you really like the way this lines up, and this is what we've been, it's always been on the table. And by the way, Vinny Pasquantino's been taking batting practice, so who knows? Maybe he could pop back up at some point here early in a postseason. But you'd really like to get there and get it done somehow today. Somehow, whether it's Singer beating the Braves or the Twins just losing another game, you'd love to see it. Because right now, you have to throw Lugo and Reagans in the second two games if you're still trying to clinch that playoff spot. You have to, right? You're not going to pull them back. If they can do it tonight, Tommy, you start a series with those two. And that is where the Royals become really, really dangerous to the opposition in the postseason. In that scenario, you'd likely see Waka starting a third game or Lorenzen starting a third game or whatever it is, not Singer. Singer's going to pitch today. Singer's greatest value to this team right now, the way things have been going for him lately, is to get them into the postseason right now, because he's not going to be one of, probably not going to be one of the top four starters in a playoff rotation at this point. So, you know, his greatest contribution to whatever it is the Royals end up doing this year could very well be what he does tonight. Now, I don't know what the hurricane out there is going to do to any of this, but Singer has been bad. We'll just put it quite bluntly, for a long time now. He hasn't been really good since mid-August. And even then, his great stretch where he was just nails ended when the calendar turned to August. It's been a while since we've seen the Brady Singer we saw for a lot of the season. So if he can get them through this, though, Tommy, it lines up. And if it lines up, and we've been saying this forever, if it lines up for the Royals, their starting pitching is, I mean, I'm not taking an overall rotation over anybody. And the way the bullpen's pitching, you really like their chances if they can get this one today and line it up that way.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this a lot. I don't think people quite appreciate how stressed out I am right now going into this
weekend.
I know. You know, because I've been a lifelong Braves fan, and of course I'm a Royals fan. I, you know, followed the Royals my entire life. Both teams, I've cheered them on. And I knew, obviously, when the schedule came out that they were going to face each other in the final weekend of the series, of the season. At the time, you know, nobody thought that the Royals would be in this particular position. Now you've got both teams that are fighting for their playoff lives. And I, somebody asked me on X yesterday who I was rooting for, who I was pulling for in this series this weekend. Honestly, I'm the biggest Orioles fan on the face of the planet tonight. Basically, and I needed the Marlins to beat the Twins last night. I was so happy that they did that. And really what I want to have happen is I want the Twins, and this is just me personally, I want the Orioles to beat the Twins tonight, and I would love the Braves to sweep the Royals, right, because they, at least for me, that's my scenario. my best case scenario, being a fan of both of those teams. But for the Royals in general, yeah, if you can get Singer to pitch great tonight and win this game, Max Fried for the Braves has been really up and down this year. He's got fantastic stuff. He always has had fantastic stuff. But the win-loss record is not quite there for Fried. And there have been a few times this season, especially as of late, where he's given up a lopsided number. And so if the Royals can jump on him early, then that could happen. Max Fried is not shut down like Chris Sale is in that rotation for the Royals. And so obviously the Royals having potentially the opportunity to miss Chris Sale, I think is going to play big also for them this weekend.
Yeah, so Atlanta has decided then Sale's just going to go in an elimination game. Mm-hmm. That worries me less than it did 24 hours ago.
And the whole reason for that, by the way, is that Max Fried, from everything that I've read, Max Fried is very much a routine type pitcher. He's not the kind of guy that he doesn't like to pitch on extra rest. It's got to be in that, you know, kind of cadence with the rotation. So he's going to pitch tonight, but Chris Sale, it doesn't bother him one bit to pitch on extra rest. So they can hold him, they can keep him, you know, ready to roll.
And the Royals certainly would, worst case scenario is you don't do it. All of a sudden the Twins are winning their games, and then Sunday you face Chris Sale, and it's like, okay, like what's going on? But because that late game Marlins win last night, that really, really opens up
huge. All
the possibilities. And Minnesota, you know, their game tonight, this doesn't feel like the game. This doesn't feel like the game. So that's where I go back to a Singer win. They're going up against a bad pitcher for Baltimore who's just trying to set things. But it's all lining up for us. Let's continue this after the break, and we'll look at what a potential, you know, run is for how the Royals could set a rotation if they can get there, and if they can get there quickly. And if they don't, what's the other side of that? We'll get into that when we return. Your calls, Royals fans. We're going to get into a ton of football throughout the show, so we want to make sure we get in some Royals talk here early on the program today. 869-1240, you can chime in. You can leave us your video comments. You can leave us your voice messages. All kinds of ways to get in touch with the program. All this baseball coverage on KFH brought to you by T-Mobile. Head into T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. More Royals talk when we return on Sports Daily. All right. right, who's thirsty? You want to win some HTO? You can do that right now. Enter our contest. Win some free iced tea, more than 20 flavors to choose from. Not only that, you get a free coffee as well, iced or hot, including all options of the Dirty Chai Apple Crisp or the Mocha Butter Pecan. Good luck, everybody. All you got to do to win those two gifts from us are text the keyword T, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. Good luck on the contest. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Those are good, by the way, for any of the three Wichita Metro locations. We're talking Royals baseball. We're down to a magic number of one. Best case scenario, really, other than, you know, other than it being zero, I suppose, coming out of the National Series. That's pretty dang good. So now we look at it, and the Royals still have to get there. Minnesota is staying home to play a Baltimore team who basically has everything wrapped up. They know exactly what they'll be doing. There's nothing else on the table for Baltimore. Minnesota's playing poorly. Who knows what that means? Maybe a player, but you know, baseball teams don't roll over in these instances, so you never know, but it does make it a little bit more difficult. So it's on Brady Singer tonight. Then what you'd have in this series, if Singer can't get it, the Twins don't help for the Royals. You'll get Lugo, and then you'll get Reagans. So what that would mean, Tommy, the postseason right now, we only know that the Astros will open their series on Tuesday, and then we know the Brewers will open their series on Tuesday. So what we would assume is that Baltimore will open their series on Wednesday. But we also don't know, right? The Yankees and Cleveland are playing for the bye. Is that right? I don't even remember what this is. So you got the Yankees and Cleveland playing for the bye. Baltimore's not going to get that, but we don't know who they're playing. We don't know when they're playing. Basically, the point of all of that is to say the Royals would either play Tuesday or Wednesday. So if, you know, if you get to that point, then you're looking at 5 days rest. If they don't get it done tonight and they need Lugo tomorrow and then they get it done there, Lugo would line up, I believe, Tommy, for a game two, most likely, in that series, and you would start the series with Reagans. If you didn't get it done then and then you have to go Reagans, well, then you're looking at a situation where perhaps it could be, it probably would be those two in games two and three instead of one and two in some combination. So, you know, not pitching Sunday, like it's almost certain, I would guess, that those two guys will start two of the games in a wild card series. Almost certain, but you'd sure like it to be on the front end, not the back end.
Yeah, and I think that the Royals will try to do everything they possibly can to make that happen. I mean, obviously, it's going to depend upon when they can clinch. And best case scenario is clinching tonight in Atlanta, one way or the other. Either they win the game with Singer or the Twins lose at Baltimore. And I know that the Orioles have all their everything locked up for the most part. I mean, they know that they're in. But the Twins haven't particularly been playing very well recently.
They just lost two games out of three to 100 loss Marlins.
And the pitching for the Twins, especially the bullpen, has not been good. They've been pretty shaky as of late, too. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily count out the possibility of the Twins losing tonight and the Royals clinching. If I'm Matt Quatrero and the Royals are able to clinch tonight one way or the other, then, you know, Saturday and Sunday, I'm doing everything that I can to get my entire team ready to roll for whatever this wild card series is, wherever they go. And so, you know, to me, that would mean probably, I would try to maybe throw Alec Marsh in one of those games this weekend, probably Waka in the other one. I would look at a lineup that, you know, maybe gives a couple guys some rest, you know, to get them ready. Because keep in mind, they left Kansas City on Monday. They flew to Washington. Now they're in Atlanta. They're going to go somewhere else for a wild card series. So that grind is there. The travel is there. I wouldn't even just necessarily look at the pitching. I would look at the lineup also and see, okay, if we can get the game clinched tonight, or honestly, even on Saturday, then you've got Sunday to do the same thing. Try to get as many guys the rest necessary to get them ready for a wild card series.
Yeah, and these are the things that'll make it interesting. Like we just talked about the Braves making some of these decisions, but like, are Lugo and Reagans good to go on long rest? Do they want regular rest? Do they need to get a bullpen session in to keep their, you know, their groove? I don't know that. I think probably it doesn't matter for Lugo. Reagans would be the interesting one. you know, if he wants regular rest. But if you get it done tonight, then it shouldn't matter. You should be able to go games one and two with those two. The other option is to start somebody else in game one and let those guys be your games two and three starters. And if you get it done in two games, then you get one of them going in game one of potentially the next series, which is advantageous because we know in a stretched out series, right, that a game one starter could potentially pitch three times.
The only one that I would be comfortable with the Royals doing that with would be Lorenzen. If they can get Lorenzen in game one,
to start a
game one, if they were not able to get Lugo or Reagans ready to go for a game one, then I would do Lorenzen. And honestly, the way that the Royals handled Lorenzen earlier this week, I think you probably give him a little bit more as opposed to
Lorenzen over Waka.
Two and a third. I would trust the combination of Lorenzen and Lynch together probably more than Waka in a game one situation. Not that I don't trust Waka, but I honestly wouldn't mind having him in my back pocket either, for maybe later in the series.
I think it would be more likely that they'd go with Waka with Lorenzen and Lynch able to bail out any pitcher. They're going to be in a position of strength. If they can get this done today and they don't need to use long innings on anybody, they're going to be in a position of strength because they can have a quick trigger for their starters too. Like, not only do they have, you know, this great rotation, but they've got either Lorenzen or Waka who's irrelevant essentially, unless one of them struggles in a three game series.
It'd be Lorenzen and Lynch.
Well, no, I'm saying like if you go Waka, you have Lorenzen or you don't need him ready to roll, or vice versa.
Yeah.
I'd probably start Waka honestly because of Lorenzen's experience in that versatility. I mean, Lynch has been pitching. Everybody out of the bullpen has been pitching really well. So, the starters aren't going to be asked to do too much. What I would do, and I may do this anyway, even if they're not clinched, if any Pasquantino's taking live BP, I'd have, especially if they clinch it, I'd lead him off and make him a DH in the last two games and just say, let's see what you got. Just get out there. Like, what's it going to hurt? Just get out there and swing.
Yeah. So Aaron Rodgers,
see if you can do it.
Aaron Rodgers, who covers the team in Kansas City, reported yesterday that Pasquantino was taking live batting practice in Washington and sending several balls over the fence. He's what, like 3 weeks removed from surgery, which is just wild to think that he's able to, at least even take batting practice.
I think he's a week and a half ahead of schedule.
Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. The other thing that I would do if the Royals are able to clinch tonight, I'm not throwing Urcig at all on Saturday or Sunday. Like, get him rested.
I think you got to have a conversation. You got to have a conversation with Urcig. Now he's gassed right now because he's bit. But you also, it's hard because with closers, sometimes they like to be in that specific role and it messes with them if they're not. But they've used Urcig enough ways and in different places. I would have a conversation with him. Do you want to get an inning in Saturday or Sunday? Make sure you're sharp for Tuesday and Wednesday. I think you have to ask him that question. I don't know that putting relief pitchers on ice like that for 4 days is the right way to go, because you can do whatever you want. They can basically get their work in a game. You don't care at this point. So if Bubich and or Urcig, they're like, you know what, I'd like to get an inning in Saturday or Sunday, or Sunday before a Tuesday game, that gives you a regular day of rest on Monday, and then you're ready to roll. I wouldn't be surprised if you see all those guys pitch on a Sunday just so they stay in a groove. But those are conversations, like, we're not privy to that. Those are conversations Quatrero has with his guys, with his pitching coaches. Like, who wants to pitch? Who's good with rest? Who wants the rest? Like, you got to make those decisions that way. We're just guessing. I am. On whether a guy would prefer one thing or the other. I do think you have to protect your starters a little bit from themselves, but for bullpen guys, you leave it all on the table. It's so crazy when we talk about the difference between Wednesday and now. No, Tuesday and now. Because we've got this situation where the Royals, it was like, oh hell, they're not going to get in. They're going to blow it.
Yeah.
And now you look at it, and when you look across the landscape, I mean, the biggest concern by far is the offense. There's no question about that. But if you're looking at it, like, the Royals are really set up for success here. Really big way.
From an offensive point of view, they start the series against the Nationals with one run. Then they get to three runs. Then last night, it's kind of like the floodgates open a little bit. I mean, I know it wasn't like this massive offensive onslaught, but it had been over a week since they had scored that many runs in a game as they did last night. And so I think that's important for sure as they not only get into this series this weekend, but entering into the playoffs. And I mean, it was 72 hours ago that I sat right here and I said, I don't think the Royals are going to make the playoffs. I said, I think it's more likely than not that they don't. They got that magic number from 6-1 in 3 days. Which is wild, and it's not just them. I mean, they had some help from the Twins, and you know that sort of thing. But to me, I don't know if there is another team in Major League Baseball that has had such wild swings in such a short amount of time all season than the Kansas City Royals. And this is another example of that. There are teams out there like take the Dodgers for example, or the Phillies for example. You know what you're going to get from them basically night in and night out. Can they go on have a rough streak? Sure. Can it be not ideal? Absolutely. Can they get hot? Absolutely. But by and large, you know what you're going to get from those teams. The Royals, it's like so like top of the mountain highs and bottom of the valley lows. And it's been that way all season long. And it just changes on a dime all the freaking time.
It can be a good thing. The last year's World Series champion, the Texas Rangers, were the same way, and they got hot offensively heading into the postseason. I know PJ Glasser's in the waiting room, and he'll appreciate this if he can hear me, and I think he can while he's in the waiting room. I got money on the Royals to win the World Series, 200-1, Tommy. 200-1, baby.
Pretty solid.
Can we make it back-to-back years? My Rangers bet last year. And I got the Royals even longer odds. Not nearly as much money on the line, but it's a good pay.
They got to clinch first.
200-1's a good pay.
They got to clinch.
I know. Got to get there. And don't worry, Royals fans. That's not a jinx because last year I talked about my Rangers bet probably every day and they won it anyway. So no jinxing there. But I figured PJ would appreciate that while he was in the waiting room. Speaking of, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little football. PJ Glasser, our betting insider, joins the show next to get us ready for the weekend.
...97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Right on the line now, the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure and listen to the Send It In podcast. For more analysis, just search Send It In wherever you find your podcasts. We do welcome in PJ Glasser now. A regular Thursday visit moved to a Friday, helping us get primed for a football weekend. PJ, welcome in. How are you?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Appreciate you being flexible this week. Yesterday ended up being my off day, so working today, but it's good. We get another day to look at some of these lines, watch stuff move. So yeah, great to be with you guys.
Let's kick it off with some college football. One of the first games of the day, one of the best games of the day, and it features one of the teams we follow, Kansas State. Provo was real, real weird last week. Oklahoma State comes in as well from a loss out of a Utah team. K-State's a 4.5-point favorite. It was at 5.5, I think, when it opened. So it's moved a little bit toward Oklahoma State. But that surprises me a little bit, PJ. What's your read on that line?
Yeah, I would probably lean towards Oklahoma State, guys, plus the points. It's not an official bet for me, but both of these teams, I kind of look at them the same in terms of both of their quarterbacks are really struggling to throw the ball right now, right? K-State, obviously, with Avery Johnson, we know what kind of athlete he is, struggling to throw. Alan Bowman for Oklahoma State, same thing. He was awful versus Utah this past week, so both those teams, you know, will obviously look to control the line of scrimmage, run the football, kind of lean on their defense, play field position. Both teams are well coached. And it's a huge game for both teams, right? I mean, you kind of figured at the beginning of the year, the Big 12 championship would probably be Utah and then a combination of one of these two teams. This is a massive, massive game with both of them losing last week, already losing a game in conference play. Would lean towards Oklahoma State plus the points. Obviously, I mean, Manhattan's a really tough place to play, really tough place to win. I think Kansas State squeaks out a close one, but I'll take those points with the Cowboys.
It's one of the few top 25 matchups in college football this weekend. Of course, the premier one, Georgia, Alabama. You know, of course, with Nick Saban now out, not with Alabama anymore. I think that really, obviously, Kalen DeBoer is establishing his own culture down there with the Crimson Tide. But Kirby Smart now becomes kind of the class of the SEC. Of course, Texas probably wants to stake their claim to that as well. But Georgia, number two in the country, Alabama, number four in the country. What do you like in that one?
It's going to be a heck of a game, guys. I'd love to come on here and tell you, like, I have a definitive play for who I like, but I'm really making a case for both sides. You know, it feels like for the first time in a long, long time, Georgia can kind of play that, like, underdog role, even though they're favored. It feels like a lot of people like Bama to win the game. Both teams are coming off a bye, which makes it awesome. The fact that Kirby gets 2 weeks to prepare, DeBoer gets 2 weeks to prepare. I think what's really interesting about this matchup, you guys, is Kirby Smart and Nick Saban faced off six times against each other, and all six of those matchups, the final score went over 49 points. And right now we're looking at total at 49.5. Those were obviously two defensive coaches that knew each other extremely well. And now we're getting two coaches that have never squared off against each other. You know, DeBoer's never played against Kirby, even when he was an OC at Indiana, head coach, whatever it may be. They've never gone up against each other. The one kind of thing that we maybe have to compare is obviously DeBoer's matchups going up against Dan Lanning, who came from Georgia with Kirby Smart when he was his defensive coordinator. And, I mean, DeBoer, he dominated those matchups, and his teams put up points. So Georgia's skill weapons, I'm very concerned about. You know, they don't have a Brock Bowers this year or a Ladd McConkie, and their offense just isn't as explosive as we're used to them being. Obviously, they got a great quarterback in Carson Beck. I would give the advantage to Bama, though, on offense. Defensively, Georgia hasn't given up a touchdown this year on defense. And looking at what Clemson's been doing to people recently, that looks more and more impressive. So it's a tough game to really handicap both side and total. If you had to make me pick it, I'd probably take Bama. But guys, this just might be one of those games to bet live. You know, we talk about that a lot on this show with spreads that are this tight. Don't feel like you have to make a pick right off the bat. You know, if Bama goes down the field and scores 7-0, you might get like a +3 with Georgia. And then I think that'd be a great bet, or vice versa. You could get a +3.5 with Bama and just wait it out. But if you had to make me pick the game, I'd probably take the Tide.
What we do, PJ, with Kansas? They keep one-upping themselves in blowing games late. They've clearly, to me anyway, been the better team in all of these losses they've had now in a row. All three of them, they've been the better team, but they can't win the game. So they get TCU, they're back home, they're two-point favorites. When you see things like that where teams are not living up to their expectations, do you feel like that's an opportunity, or is it the opposite? Like, stop ignoring what's staring you in the face. This team doesn't know how to win games. I don't know how to bet them.
So it's funny, Jacob, you asked that, and you phrase it that way, because I kind of view Kansas right now the same way that I'm viewing the Ravens, where I kind of want to just bet them in the first half, but I don't want to trust them for all four quarters. You know what I mean? And yep. I think that's the way to do it with Kansas again this week. Like, you don't want to trust them the first 60 minutes. But like you said, I mean, they've suffered some tough losses this year. UNLV, West Virginia, Illinois. They just haven't been able to close these games out. So I'll just take them in the first half, because obviously they want to get it right. They want to win these games. And I trust their coaching staff to have a good game plan early. They're at home. So I just take them in the first half on the money line at -130. And then I just get out, you know, and don't sweat it for the rest of the way. And that's my thought process with the Ravens and the Bills, one of the marquee games in the NFL, where Lamar's great in the first half. Harbaugh's great straight up in primetime games at home. But we just know the Ravens collapsed in the fourth quarter. Kansas has kind of been the same way. So with teams like that, that have good coaching staffs, play well for a majority of the game, should be winning these games and covering these spreads, I think first half's a great angle for Kansas and for the Ravens this week as well.
Are you at a point now in the college football season, PJ, where, you know, now through 4 weeks, you know enough, or at least you feel like you know enough about teams that you can maybe look ahead a little bit and look at some things in the future? Are there futures bets now with 4 weeks in that maybe are a little bit more solidified, or things you feel comfortable with, or is it still too early?
Yeah, I definitely think there are. I think for the Heisman too, and Tommy, it's great that you bring this up. You know, everybody's going to be just wanting to bet the Bama-Georgia game. Another way that you can attack that is in the Heisman market, right? Jalen Milroe right now, +800 to win the Heisman. Carson Beck is 16-1. So whatever team that people like to win that game this week, if you think that the quarterback, whether it's going to be Milroe or Beck, has a really good game and his team's going to win, I mean, guys, we might see those odds cut in half, whether it's Beck go all the way down to plus 800, 900, or Milroe might become the new favorite at plus 400, because obviously these are the kind of games where you win the Heisman Trophy, right? We talk about those Heisman moments and beating the best of the best. So, yeah, the Heisman market's certainly something I'm keeping my eye on. And some of these conference markets, you know, is something that I'm keeping my eye on too. Like the ACC at this point looks like it's going to just kind of be a two horse race between Miami and Clemson. Clemson's like plus 350. And even though Miami's going to be favored in that ACC title game, Clemson is not going to be plus 350 on the money line. So you can start thinking about those kind of things where maybe you take a shot on a team in the conference market, not necessarily because you think they're going to win, but because you think you're going to get much better value than when that team is playing in that championship game. And they will not be that price when they play on the money line.
Before we switch to the NFL, PJ, you know, some of us are suckers for parlays, and we've got some bonuses and boosters to get filled out. So give us just a couple of your favorite college football plays that we haven't talked about this weekend.
So, yeah, one of the marquee games I really do like this week, guys, is going to be Penn State minus the 17.5 against Illinois. Top 20 matchup. Penn State's laying a bunch of points. Illinois's already won two games this season as outright underdogs. Obviously, the Kansas game, they beat Nebraska last week as well. So I think this is just one of those classic cases where the line's high for a reason, right? Like, people are going to see number 9 versus number 20, and number 20 is catching 17.5 points. And that's why Illinois is one of the most public bets this week, because they're a top 20 team and they're catching all those points. I just don't know how they score in this game. The reason Illinois has been successful this season is because they've been able to muck it up and they've been able to lean on their defense and they've been able to win the turnover battle. If they fall behind to Penn State, guys, I just don't think they're going to have the firepower to come back and cover this spread. So that game really feels like 30-3 to me, somewhere in that neighborhood. Those are the kind of games where Penn State tends to roll to. Like, you don't want to bet Franklin against the Ohio States, the Michigan, the top tier teams, but you want to bet him against kind of those middle teams in the Big Ten. So I like Penn State a lot. I also like Auburn. I mean, it's a really ugly bet against Oklahoma this week. I view those teams the exact same. Both teams are good on defense. They're getting horrendous quarterback play right now. The difference is that Auburn's at home, and Oklahoma is going to be starting Michael Hawkins this week, who's a true freshman quarterback, has to go on the road in a difficult environment against an Auburn team that needs a win in the worst way, right? I mean, if they drop this game, they're 2-3, and they still got to play Bama. They still got to play Georgia. You know, I mean, they still got to play some really tough teams. So that's a must-win game for Auburn. And the fact that Oklahoma is starting a true freshman, I'll roll with the Tigers plus 2.5, and I like Penn State as well.
Shifting to the NFL, PJ, I got to tell you, I'm pretty angry at the spread right now for the Chiefs and Chargers game. Kansas City headed to the West Coast to take on the Chargers, and it's all over the place as far as the Chargers are concerned. Derwin James suspended out for the game. They're banged up. Justin Herbert has about 17 different injuries that he's dealing with right now. It's just, it's a classic situation of Kansas City playing the Chargers, because the Chargers seem like they're always injured when these two teams match up. The spread right now is at a touchdown. I mean, I'm getting it right around 7 right now, and I'm angry at that because Kansas City has not been good at covering the number this entire season. But I don't know what to do considering the Chargers are so banged up and they're going to be, you know, without several different players. Is there an angle on this game that you like?
Yeah, I actually like the Chargers plus the points this week, guys. I think Kansas City wins. This game just, for me, feels very similar to what San Francisco and the Rams were last week, right? Where you got a divisional game. The Niners are big favorites. They're on the road at SoFi, ironically enough. And all the Chargers really have is their quarterback, like the Rams do. It looks like more and more that Herbert's going to play in this game. They're without Derwin James, as you mentioned, Tommy. They're not going to have their two top tackles in Alt and in Rashawn Slater as well. So this is one of those games where you kind of look at it on the surface, right? And you're like, how are the Chargers going to keep this game close? We know how incredible these big underdogs have been in the NFL so far this season, right? Not only are they covering, they're winning outright. I don't think the Chargers win outright, but as you guys know, Chiefs-Chargers games tend to be close, right? It's not like the Chiefs, even though Mahomes dominates them, it's not like he usually blows them out. These games are usually one possession, so I'll take the Chargers to keep it close. I like them plus 7. I also love Travis Kelce over receiving yards in this game, guys, at 46.5. I think we're all waiting for the breakout Kelce game, and he dominates the Chargers. Now, obviously, that's been going up against Brandon Staley defenses, and you're wondering, you know, against Harbaugh and Jesse Minter, kind of what they scheme up. But Derwin James being out is really going to be big at going up against Kelce. So I like Kelce over receiving yards. I like the Chargers plus 7 as well.
On that same game, I just think it's interesting because we haven't been used to it. We've got a total under 40 in a Chiefs game.
Yeah.
Now, they've been a good defense. But a total under 40 in a Chiefs game? The world is upside down in the NFL.
It's crazy, right? I mean, and a big part of it, I think, is because we're so used to Kansas City being great in the red zone and scoring touchdowns. And obviously, a big part of that is Kelce, and he hasn't been featured much this season, and he hasn't scored. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Like 39.5, I would think the over would probably be the play in that game. I do think the Chargers are going to be able to score, you know, not having their two top tackles. They're ranked 30th in football and passing yardage, but they're going to run the football. They're going to do what they do. I still think the Chiefs are going to put up points. So it is a low total. I would still go over that, though, thinking that the Chargers will, especially because I like the Chargers to cover the spread. You know, if people are out there with me and thinking the Chargers are going to score, you would think they're going to have to keep up with Kansas City a little bit. So do like the over, and obviously Chargers plus the points, as I've been saying.
I know you're the expert, so I want to throw this out at you and see if you agree with me, if you think I'm on the right track here. One of my favorite bets of the entire weekend in the NFL is the Bengals-Panthers game, the over, because Andy Dalton came in last week, and it was like all of a sudden the offense was unlocked for Carolina. On the flip side with Cincinnati, you know, you've got Ja'Marr Chase looking like he's kicking things into gear. T. Higgins has returned a little bit. And so I really, really like that over. Also, Cincinnati's defense last week was atrocious. That's probably my favorite bet. That over-under is at 47. I love the over.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? The way that Cincinnati's defense has looked, and then the way that Carolina obviously looked with Dalton. Guys, it's so funny coming into the season. A lot of people, myself included, thought Carolina would be much improved this year because of Canales' track record with kind of turning around quarterbacks, right? And he thought he would do that with Bryce Young. Maybe he's just going to do that with Andy Dalton, right? Like Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, like Dalton kind of fixed the mold of kind of a veteran quarterback that Canales can turn around. He obviously looked great last week. I didn't touch the total, Tommy. I wouldn't bet the under. It would only be over or pass for me. I just worry, you know, the Panthers are coming off a great offensive performance. The Bengals are coming off a terrible defensive performance like that. The over just almost feels like too easy to me. Maybe it is. That might just be one of those games where the teams are moving the ball back and forth and, you know, they're settling for a bunch of field goals and the game goes under. So I wouldn't bet the under. It would only be the over for me. But that total is going to be a pass.
All right. Before we let you go, PJ, kind of the same thing. We ask you about specific games, but give us your favorite handful of NFL bets for Sunday.
So, yeah, I told you guys I like the Chargers plus 7. Really like that one. I like the Ravens quite a bit in the first half, -0.5. We were talking about that game as well. I think they get off to a hot start against the Bills. Another game I really like this week, guys, is Arizona, -3.5 against Washington. I mean, how can you not fade the Commanders this week, right? Off of that huge win on Monday night, short week, going on the road against Arizona. Everybody's talking about how great Jaden Daniels is and how incredible he played. And as they should be, he was spectacular in that game. But that Commanders defense still really worries me, right? Like Burrow and the Bengals didn't punt in that game. They were putting up a ton of numbers. So Arizona and Kyler Murray have been really good on offense this year. I think they're going to be able to put up numbers. Let's keep in mind too, right? Arizona faces Kyler Murray every day in practice. So they should be able to handle a mobile quarterback where Cincinnati had no answers for it last week against Washington. Just one of those cases, guys, where I'm fading a team off a big, big win, right? We did that last week. Tampa was coming off that big win against Detroit. They turn around, get smashed. smashed by Denver. The Raiders were coming off that big win against Baltimore. They turn around, get smashed by Carolina. Like, this is why I talk about spots so much in the NFL, because it really is a roller coaster with these teams. You know, like, not all wins are the same. Not all spots are the same. I just think this is a good one for Arizona. They're coming off a tough loss. They're back at home. Washington short week off of a huge win. I'll take Arizona -3.5.
All right, PJ, we appreciate it. Good luck with the bets this weekend. Thanks for moving around with us, and we'll talk again next week.
Always look forward to it, guys. Good luck. See you next week.
That's the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We're going to come back. We're going to make some more picks. We'll put it on the line here. We'll bring in Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland, Paul Savage. Here we go. That's when we return. Jad's got receipts, too. I'm not sure we want them, but he's got them.